giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Among the many things for which we give thanks, first must surely come the gift of faith, because without faith it is impossible for us to please God. Never take your faith, your Catholic faith, for granted. Living, full, practiced in daily life. Devils believe and tremble, St. James writes, and that faith without works is dead. But pretty much both are gone today, dead and buried since the changes. Years ago, when I was in the seminary in Switzerland, there was a visiting professor, a Frenchman, his name was Bernard Fay, who was a world-renowned expert on Judeo-Freemasonry. Once he told one of the young seminarians, who was Father Kelly, Bishop Kelly today, that he visited the Vatican and he met a bishop who believed in God. There was no reaction from Father. So he said to him, "You don't understand. Out of all of those bishops and cardinals, there was one who believed in God." Coming back to Cincinnati once from a visit to Rome, I got talking to a young Dominican on the plane. It was the era of John Paul II. Many thought he was a great pope. He's the one who would give churches to pagans in Assisi and who kissed the Quran. And he's the one, too, who appointed many of the scandalous miscreants as bishops and as cardinals. Well, finally, at the end of our conversation, I summarized by telling this young man that I don't believe that he believes, John Paul II, in God. And it's a curious thing, from the Dominican had no reaction. This is the same lack of reaction you can come across today. It's understood. Still, on the part of some, and there are a few devout and sincere clergy of the new order, they too will tell you, in answer to the McCarrick story, how these terrible things were open secrets and known not just for years, but even for decades. And they'll tell you it's because they don't believe in God. Many of the Novus Ordo clergy are de facto atheists. Where does that leave their laity? Well, they are as well. But this deep, deep loss of faith is never spoken about. It's never addressed. Because who believes anymore? Who really cares? One tweeter tweeted last week, "There's an epidemic, all right, but it's not COVID. It's the plague of worldliness and of cowardice, as people who don't really believe in an afterlife, or at least in the judgment part, cling to this life at any cost, like frightened animals, and they die 1,000 deaths, and they are as the walking dead among us." How did it happen? Well, like the Great Reset, not by chance, but by design. All at once, in the revolution of Vatican II, they not only abolished the Mass and the valid sacraments to take away the source of grace, but right away, too, some of you may remember this, they changed the catechism. And there were entire generations who never learned the Catholic faith in Catholic schools or churches. It's as simple as that. And didn't Archbishop Lefebvre always say, "You mustn't go to the new Mass because it will destroy your faith." And so it did. Christian faith, let's turn to the catechism. Spirago, his catechism, expresses it. Christian faith is the firm conviction, by the grace of God, that all that Jesus Christ taught is true, as well as all that the Church teaches by his commission, which she has received from him. Faith is a matter of understanding, but also of will. We saw last week how it is the rendering of our reasonable service to God. But once we investigate, and once we are convinced that the truth in question really is revealed by Almighty God and proposed by the Catholic Church, then the will must submit, even though the reason can never fully grasp these truths. No one can believe unless he wills to believe, and no one can understand fully the faith. Anyone, though, by the assistance of God's grace, by prayer, anyone, regardless of doubts and difficulties, can believe. How? By a simple act of the will. I submit. Many stop short of the faith. Many, having received it, abandon it with yesterday's trash through pride or self-will or a refusal to give up, because of the consequences of faith, to give up their own pleasures or their own passions. Your faith, how glorious it is. Thank God for the gift of faith. You believe in a God who is at once one and three. You believe that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified like a common criminal 20 centuries ago, and that he is God's very Son, that he is divine, and that 3 days later his soul returned in all glory to his body, and that he rose again, and that a bit of water on your brow at baptism makes you share in the story, in Christ's death and resurrection, and become a new creature filled with God's life, which is sanctifying grace. You believe that when your tongue cradles communion this morning, which looks and feels and tastes like bread, but is God's body, Jesus Christ, you believe that at that moment, as you leave the communion rail, you are a living tabernacle. You are the shrine of divinity. And on this faith, by it, you live, surrendering to God all that you are, your mind and your heart and your liberty and your memory and your passion and your power. This is what it means to live to God. Next, you have the gift of hope. Hope is not a wimpy, well, maybe things will turn out okay. It is the confident expectation that regardless of the problem, come what may, if you do your part, God will do his, knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election. COVID or no, you know that your life will not end in 6 feet of dirt, or if the family is not cooperative, in a furnace set for 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. You know that you will always be alive unto God, and that one day, body and soul will come together again without the pain and without the tears, and that in the meantime, we wait for God's Son from heaven, Jesus, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Unless that's your hope, there's no point in your presence here. But you know, too, that faith alone is not sufficient for salvation. It must be a living faith, one which we are ready to confess openly and without shame, and to express in good works steadily. This is our faith, unchanged, uncompromised. And if this priceless gift were not enough to give thanks to God come Thursday, consider how easy it is to come to church each Sunday. If you manage to get yourself together and the kids and to make it, then those doors will be open, as they were all through the hoax of the faux COVID crisis. How does this mercy of God come to us, unworthy as we are? I am convinced it is because this is a house of prayer, day and night, in season and out of season. If you're here or if you're not, it does not stop the masses and the divine office and the devotions and the rosary. We pray and God hears. That's a pretty good deal. We should give thanks. Spare a prayer too, speaking of being here, for our good sheriff in Butler County. He's one of a kind, a stalwart character. He's a friend of liberty, and you know the sheriff is the last and the first one responsible in a county for the administration of the laws. He's a man, very importantly, not just of liberty, but of common sense, which is never common. You know, there was a time when this church was a building dedicated in this month, November. And at that time, we felt, and not without reason, persecuted, somewhat singled out by the authorities of this same Butler County. At that time, it was all white, Protestant, Republican, and anti-Catholic. Well, the faces have changed, are more politically correct today, but really nothing much else. Except that today, I think, with the bureaucracy which has only increased, they're an equal opportunity persecutor. All religion or none is welcome to suffer at our hands. Father Chicada, in those early days, spent many an hour attending meetings and then once trying to arrange for our church to be legal on Christmas Eve for Mass. He actually went Christmas Eve morning for an appointment at the courthouse in Hamilton. And we ended up being fined for several months for keeping our church open. It's not the end of the world. But finally, all was settled. And the official in question, Father Chicada said he was a Freemason because he had the ring. The official in question, at the end of the day, happened by our church one day. And he made a point to look up Father Chicada and to say, "You know, you built a very fine-looking church here. It's beautiful." And now, what a blessing it is for us that Almighty God has led us out into Butler County. This, too, is thanksworthy in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Remember it on Thursday. But the blessing of your faith and its free practice, remember that every day. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.